The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's week number 10 of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, or Federal News Network, excuse me, 1500 AM federalnewsnetwork.com. Kevin Stanfield in studio, I'm Claude Jennings, and it's another win. Now, Kevin and I were talking before that we started recording. This is week 10, even though it's the ninth game because of the bye week.
That's right.
And so the Redskins, 6-3, number one in the NFC East, 16-3 win over Tampa Bay. And look, we've said this before, and there's a couple things we've said before. They're like recurring themes with this team. You know, no need to panic after last week's game. Even though it felt like it was, they came back and took care of business to improve to 6-3 after a 16-3 win over Tampa Bay.
Code red, baby. Code red.
Exactly. So, Kevin, you know, let's take just number one, just your general thoughts of the game, and then we'll break it down. You know, offense, defense, special teams, and overall. Well, I got some interesting thoughts on this. But go ahead.
There was something that was not publicized that I don't know if any of you have visited Raymond James Stadium, but it's like, you know, Martin Marvel, and they have this pirate ship that's at the end of the end zone. Whenever they score a touchdown, they fry this big cannon.
Right.
So this is what the people were saying after the game.
You sunk my battleship!
They were happy.
No cannons.
Yeah, no cannons were firing at all. I was so thrilled. Although I was very confused, man, because I did not understand the defense, man. This bend but not break. I was like the defensive back. Now they started a rookie up in place of the other rookie, Greg Stolman, out of Virginia Tech.
Right.
And Danny Johnson's name was trying to be, and he was playing on DeSean Jackson. He was giving him like a 12-yard cushion, you know. And I said, look, Danny, here's how this works. Like, if they get 10 yards, they get a first down.
Right.
So maybe, you know, I know he's fast, but you're a pro football player.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, first NFL start. And but, you know, it was happening on the opposite side of the field as well. So I was a little bit confused by the defensive strategy. But if that was their plan, to just give them as much yardage as they can, and when they get in the red zone, just confuse them with stuff, it worked brilliantly because they had me fooled.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Well, here's the thing that was interesting is that yes, the bend but don't break was really confusing, but Tampa Bay really let the Redskins defense off the hook. I felt, you know, they gave turnovers, weren't able to score, and just could not get out of their own way. And here's what this struck me as, Kevin, and you let me know if I'm off base here. And this is not, you know, fake news or not segment. This is me just, you know, asking you this question. Let me know if I'm off base or not. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers to me are almost the exact team. An exact replica of the Washington Redskins. They are what the Redskins are if the offense doesn't make mistakes. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
The defense will keep you in. The offense will either score 16 points, just enough to win, or at least be in the game, or they're going to completely take you out of the game. And that's what Tampa Bay did. And I feel like I was watching, like, the Redskins were the good Redskins, and the Buccaneers were the bad Redskins. I was watching the same team play each other. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Do you get that same feel?
Perfect sense. And so often, you know, I say so often that the opposition seems to know what to do against this team. They automatically seem to know where to go. And it seemed like they knew it, but they just couldn't do it. And it got to a point where it seemed like the Burgundy and Gold defense just got tired of Tampa marching up and down the field. They said, enough of this. And they started just like playing with a sense of desperation. And you saw it was productive, right? When they were batting balls and fighting and scratching and clawing, right? You know, that pretty much sealed the victory. Because do you realize that Tampa Bay was the only team in NFL history that got, I think it was like over 480 yards of total offense and only scored 3 points?
Well, and that's the thing, that the reason why I said that, because Tampa Bay did everything right. I mean, like, the offense was able to move the ball. They were able to run the ball. They had over 100 yards rushing, 103 rushing yards. As far as passing yards, they had 398 passing yards, so 501 total yards. 501 total yards, but then you get average yards per play. They had 7.5 average yards per play. That was even more than the Redskins had, but they had two fumbles that they lost, and I think they had two interceptions. Yeah, so two fumbles lost, two interceptions. They only had two sacks. I mean, they were able to move the ball and do whatever they wanted to do offensively. They just kept turning the ball over.
At inopportune times, right? Mm-hmm. It was like the first pick, the one that was a great catch by Josh Norman, fully extended against
the By the way,
body.
They were 60% on third downs. Go ahead. 60% on third downs, and they won the time of possession battle. And they had fewer penalties.
You know what they didn't have? They didn't have that cannon going off in the end zone, right? That they didn't have, right? You know?
Look, go right ahead. You were talking about the inopportune time for the
pick. Yeah. The pick, it was Fitz magic that mm-hmm. you expected. You knew he was going to show up at some point.
Right.
You just don't know when he's going to show up. The Tampa Bay people hope it's like after four touchdown passes he'll throw a pick or so, mm-hmm. right? But this is the reason when he was in New York with the Jets that they went 11-5 one year, and it was his contract year, and they said, well, no, we just can't do it. You know, and people didn't understand why a guy that just won you 11 games, took you to the playoffs, mm-hmm. why you just wouldn't sign them. And they said, because we know football.
Right.
Right, you know. Mm-hmm. And you see, the world wasn't like, you know, like kicking this kid's door in. And now, granted, you got to be good to do with the put up the numbers that he puts up, right?
Right, right.
But he still fits magic.
That's the thing. You know what? I mean, he can be Fitz magic or he can be Fitz tragic.
That's
and
right.
It just depends on which one shows up. And like you said, he can sit there and he can throw six touchdowns one game, and it looks like, wow, this dude should be a starting quarterback in this league. And then next thing you know, he'll have, you know, a game where he'll throw four interceptions. It just depends on which one shows up. And you know, and it's not an indictment on the quarterback. Like I said, with Alex Smith, I just really feel like, you know, Tampa Bay is almost the mere, they're the bad Redskins. The Redskins that won this Sunday were the good Redskins. Didn't turn the ball over. Let's see, yeah, no turnovers, no fumbles, no interceptions. Played pretty solid, you know, the 16 points to win. But in most weeks, 16 points is not enough to win.
Hey,
and
not,
I would even say that if it weren't for, you know, a couple missed field goals by Tampa Bay and a red zone turnover, 16 points wouldn't have been good enough to win Sunday.
Let's look at this from a different perspective, though.
Mm-hmm.
16 points will beat 15 and below. And that's what Tampa got. 15 and below. But you're talking about 16 points from a unit that had an offensive line that I'm pretty sure some of them just met each other during the pregame prayer.
Right, right.
You know, excuse me. Amen. Hey, brother, who are you, man? I'm starting at left guard today, right? You know, oh, really? I'm starting at left tackle. I'm a rookie, uh-huh. You know. You got to give those guys all kinds of credit, right? Because the coach didn't want to see them get into the flow of the game. He just started wide open, play action pass, and just, you know, guns a-blazing, right? And I'm still a little concerned, but I will tell you this. I've changed my tune on a couple of things. I think that as of now, mm-hmm. Was it game 9, week 10, as of now the coach is safe in my book. You know, because I've been firing him.
Yeah,
right?
you have.
As of today.
Now, is there anything he can do to lose that security?
Yes.
Okay, go right ahead. Okay,
yes. Yes, it depends. I'll tell you, that's coming up very soon. I'll tell you at the end of the segment what he can do. Now, also, I've changed my tune on the quarterback because I've been calling for Colt. I really have. I've been saying, and I said publicly, if the defense doesn't score, I mean, if the offense scores 10 points or less by halftime in Tampa,
mm-hmm.
it's time to pull the trigger, right?
Yeah.
It's time to pull the trigger. But I saw something with Alex this week, and what I saw was a guy who was pretty much in control of the team.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see guys like if he misses like a wide open pass, like he missed a wide open Vernon
wide
Davis
open
on that bootleg, right?
Oh, wow.
You don't see guys like throwing tantrums or throwing their hands up in the air or rolling their eyes or stomping their feet. They all, it seems like he has these guys' respect.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you don't want to do anything at this point, in this stage of the game, that'll divide the team. And that's exactly what'll happen right now if you make any changes. So,
right.
Yeah, but the one thing that Coach Grooves can do next week to lose this confidence, this newfound confidence, he can win the coin toss and defer. And I'm going to tell you why. They have not lost a game which they led in. They have not won a game in which they trailed. Knowing this, do not give the other team an opportunity to score first.
Right.
You know? So, Grooch, no, you look, I got you got me off your back for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all the flip of the coin, brother.
Wow. Wow. Well, there you have it. It's interesting, too. I want to go back to the offensive line comment you made. There was a point in time when I was looking at the game, and the camera angle showed the team in the huddle, and they showed four players on the line, and I did not recognize any of those last names. Didn't recognize them at all, Kevin.
That's pitiful. That's pitiful. Yeah. So that's why, you know, you got to give these kids credit. And you know what? It gives them, number one, it gives them confidence. Just like when Strowman was beat deep by ODB against the Giants, right? And then later on, he broke up a deep pass, right? You know, he's got it under his belt, right? Danny Johnson knows that, hey, you know, I'm a pro football player. I don't have to be scared of these guys, right? You know, I can play. You know, we can win with me in the game, right? You know, I'm going to give him a break. His first NFL start as an undrafted free agent, you know? So, you know, there's a lot to like about what's going on with this team. There's a whole lot to like about it, especially the record, because we in first place.
Absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit about something to like with the defense. Give me your assessment of the defense. Now, again, Tampa Bay did turn the ball over, but what I always like to say is, I mean, it ain't like they just hiked the ball and they just threw it on the ground. I mean, there was a defense on the other side of that ball that caused some of those turnovers and that recovered fumbles and that caught interceptions. What was your evaluation of the defense, Sonny?
Well, like I said, it was kind of confusing. If it was a strategy, the bend but don't break, it was brilliant. It was brilliant because maybe he just figured if you let them run up and gather enough yardage, by the time they ended the game, they'd be like exhausted. You know? But like I said, I saw spirit. Mm-hmm. I saw a never say die attitude. Ryan Anderson, that was a brilliant play because the guy it was an open field. He was Jaquez Rogers? How many Jaquezes are there in the league? Well, whichever one it was. To come up from behind and the perfect angle to do exactly what he could have tried a shoestring tackle, but he had the presence of mind to bat that ball perfect, and there was nothing this guy could do to stop it.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. And not just like knock it out of his hand, he almost hit a field goal as hard as he hit it, right? And the determination by the defensive line at the end of the game with the end. When they're trying to just let Tampa eat up clock and run, which I wasn't really happy. I figured a stop would be good too, right? You don't give them a chance to think they could win. But with the Preston Smith sack and the showstopper recovery at the end, they showed me a lot of determination. They showed a lot of heart. The interception by Strowman, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the rookie for all practical, the rookie, right? Virginia Tech boy. You know, they showed him learning the game, they showed that he studied. He studied the play and he knew the route and the pass better than the receiver and the quarterback did. So I'm quite pleased that I'm still, we're not there yet. I'm not going to say this is the best. These are the 84 Bears, whoever they, mm-hmm. they were, right? Or the 91 Skins, right? But we got something to work with.
Right, absolutely. Got something to work with. So, again, what we're working with is a 6-3 record, number one in the NFC East after a 16-3 win against Tampa Bay. This is a special Veterans Day edition of the Federal Football Report, by the way. Kevin, who is a veteran, happy Veterans Day to you, man. Thank you so much for your service and for your sacrifice for this country. And coming back on the other side of this break, we're going to do fake news or not. And I believe also we're going to preview next week's game against the Houston Texans. That's coming up on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network.
Our mission is helping you meet your mission. Federal News Network.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. Redskins 6-3 after a 16-3 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. America, you always call for it. You ask for it. We deliver. It's time for fake news or not.
It's time for fake news or not.
Let's see if I can explain it right the first time without messing it up like I normally do. Yeah, I give Kevin three statements. He lets me know whether it's fake news or not. I did it right the first time.
Hey, pretty good.
Here we go. Statement number one. This patchwork put together offensive line will not be a problem for the Redskins offense. It wasn't against Tampa Bay, and it will not be going forward. Fake news or not?
That's not. That is not fake. That is real deal right there. Depending, there's a caveat here. Depending on the fact if the coaches know that you got J.J. Watt coming to town and he's going to show no mercy. He cares not that it's a patchwork league. I mean, patchwork offensive line. Mm-hmm. So if the coaches realize that, dial up a lot of screens, draws, misdirections, things to slow down that blitz, because the Texans are coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, we're going to know whether that's fake news or not in the next 2 weeks, because you got the Texans coming to town and the Cowboys at Dallas for Thanksgiving. And so we'll figure out in the next 2 weeks whether or not the patchwork offensive line will work or not, whether it's going to be fake news or not.
That's news.
So there we go. That's news for Kevin. Statement number two, the 2-game lead in the NFC East is enough to start getting comfortable with the idea that the Redskins will win the NFC East. Fake news or not?
That's purely fake news. That's fake news. This is the NFC East. This is where football was born. This is it. And you got to, like, and as my good friend Doc Walker so eloquently puts it, you got to step on their throats.
Right.
And take their mask. No, you got to, you know, this is, don't think you've arrived yet. There's that whole thing we talked about last week, the thing with Stephen A. We the beast of the NFC East. No. It was one game at a time. One wrench, one step, one punch, one round at a time, as Rocky told Creed.
And I mean, we talked about it. Look, there's still 2 games against the Eagles that they've got to play. They've got the Cowboys coming up, and so there's still some NFC East games coming up. Look, this 2-game cushion can easily go away with, you know, look, a loss to the Texans, and if the Cowboys end up winning a game next week against the Falcons, who, by the way, looked great against the Redskins, and then lose a game against the Browns.
What was that about?
Right, and so who knows which Falcons team is going to show up against Dallas, and so, you know, Dallas picks up a game there. The Eagles still have 2 games against the Redskins, and so you're right, it's still too close to call, and so there's no need to get comfortable yet with the idea that the Washington Redskins might win the NFC East. Here's the third question. If it benefits the Washington Redskins like it did this past Sunday night for the Cowboys to beat the Eagles, it's okay as a Redskin fan to root for the Cowboys. Fake news or not?
That's news. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Okay,
it's all about us, right? It's all about us, right? You know, that's what, you know, what do they say? The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's it.
What's wrong with people, man? Of course, right? Let me give you another example, right? It's been in social media the past couple of days that Josh Norman made some comments because there was quite a large Washington contingent down in Tampa. And he said, you know, this is the way France is supposed to be. We can booze so much at home. I play on the road all the time if it's like this, right? You know? And people getting mad, you know? And DJ Swearinger just said the same thing. And people are getting mad. And I'm saying, we won. Would you rather him have a nice conversation and we lose? You know, I want him, don't tell me how great a fan I am. Win and tell me I'm lousy and then I'll agree with you.
Right,
but you know, if you all want to prove him wrong, go to the Texans game and prove him wrong, right? You know, show him it's not, you know, the things that we can control, we can control. The other things we gotta hope from a little help like we got from the Cowboys. So, that's news.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Fake news or not, that's always a fun segment. And now we make the transition into our Stanfield player of the game. Kevin, who are you giving these Stanfield player of the games to?
This is going to be a tricky one. This is going to be a tricky one because of the nature of the game. There was so many, I wanted to give it to the offense. Offensive line. I wanted to give it to Alex Smith. I wanted to give it to the defense. But you know what? The Stanfields this week go to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm giving the whole team the Stanfield players of the game because they came through. They came through strong, like Stanfields. They came through strong, and they represented what Stanfields are all about, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm giving the entire Dallas Cowboys. That was perfect that you asked that question because that leads right up to me giving them, because I decided last night, after Sunday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys are my Stanfield's winners of the players of the week this week.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Dallas Cowboys winning the Stanfield Players of the Week.
The nicest thing that ever happened to them.
The nicest thing that we've ever done for this team, for the Cowboys, on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. Now, we've got a good contest coming up for Stanfields. Tell everybody about that, Kevin. Stanfields wanted us to do a contest. We'll oblige them contest because we love the product. And so we're trying to figure out what to do, and you came up with one.
Yeah, I think that the fact that, you know, Dallas won this week, and then they won the award, and you know, we do have a large number of Dallas fans in this area, who knows why, but yeah, I think it would be kind of cool that we represent good good football, good product, right? But, you know, the Stanfield name, right? That says it all right there. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to randomly select a Washington Redskins super fan. We're going to randomly select a Dallas Cowboy fan. Whoever wins the Thursday night, the Thursday Thanksgiving game between Washington and Dallas, the winner, that fan, will win the Stanfield's winner gift package. And this is some good quality stuff here, ladies and gentlemen, right? But they're going to have to earn it. So you're going to have to root for your team. You're going to have to, like, live with it, right? Because the winner's going to get a fabulous prize. And we're going to, you just hit us up on social media and we're going to find out who that fan is. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. Well, there you have it. Well, here's the thing. You know, Redskins, you know, don't, please don't let this prize go to a Dallas Cowboys.
That's right. That's right. That's an extra incentive for the Burgundy and Gold.
Exactly. Don't make this show have to give anything to a Dallas
That's
Cowboy.
Right. We don't want a Cowboy fan to have to live in that comfort.
Exactly.
They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But you know what? But we're men of our word. So,
exactly.
You know, we thank, you know, our good friends at Stanfield's LTD, right? You know, they've been tremendous to us this year. Mm-hmm. And I hope the relationship continues. But the winner of the Dallas-Washington Thanksgiving Day game, their fan will win the Stanfield winner package.
There you go. And so moving on with, again, this has been our special Veterans Day show. Kevin, you got an interview you want to let folks know about. You got a chance to catch up with an old Army buddy, right?
Yeah, I don't know how many people know that I actually served in the United States Army back in way back when, you know. And I had a chance to reunite with one of my old Army buddies. We were very, very close, and we've spent like 30 years apart. But then again, our outfit had a chance to reunite, and I had a chance to talk and about Veterans Day and what it meant to serve the country and the relationship that we formed being veterans. And I thought it'd be kind of cool, since this is a federal news network, that we heard this special veterans tribute. Right now in the Federal Football Report, it's my privilege to introduce the world to Bus Johnson. This is Edward Bus Johnson. I guess, you know, I think I've known Bus longer than I know anybody outside of high school, right? So, you know what? I was trying to figure out, how did we meet, man? Exactly how did we meet?
Well, actually, we were in Fort Devens, Massachusetts. Both of us living in a world of the Arctic is what it was like up there. And both of us were both in the Armed Security Agency, and life was a lot different back in those days,
yeah.
Especially for minorities, you know, in a somewhat elite part of the service.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, man, like our particular, like, you know, a bunch of civilians listening to us, they don't know anything about what an MOS is. But our job, man, our job was so technical. I think there was only like 5 black people in the world doing what we were doing at that time.
That's absolutely right. In fact, I think one of the 3 was the head of the school,
yeah.
Of the school brigade,
right?
Which I think both you and I got an introduction to.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, we can, because of the classified nature of what we talk about, but
yes, I think, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there was a certain amount of clown that was in it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know,
I think
that tended to kind of get us in some situations as well.
Well, without getting into detail, I think somebody might have been dating his daughter at something at the time, right? Which I don't think it was me.
Well, I've been thinking. I actually had forgotten about that. So, but it wasn't my fault. No, what am I doing? And I did have some encouragement from a younger brother that I had adopted. Now, to everybody who's out here, that's listening, Kevin, as a very young man, he was very young when I met him, and but he insisted on being called Mr. Stanfield. See, and I know he's giggling right now, you know, Dr. K and
that's right.
Mr. Stanfield. So, you know, I came with 13 kids.
Right.
And kind of the last thing I was expecting that I would inherit a younger brother. Kevin one way or the other, he was my little brother. So I had to look out for him.
You know, since you had like siblings, you know that sometimes the little brother would just tag along, even if you didn't want to, you didn't invite him. He just tag along anyway. And that was me. That was me.
That was him.
You know what? I tell people like on the nature films, you know that little bird that hangs on top of the rhinoceros? that was me.
Yeah, you know, and he said, well, look, I'm eating and the rhinoceros are sitting back at hand. Won't leave me alone.
Hey, but you know what though? I mean, we laugh and joke about it, but we were in an elite unit, right? We were in a unique part of the Army. It doesn't even exist anymore, right? We had to have I guess we can say this because we're on Federal News Radio. We had to have a top secret clearances. We had access to special intelligence. And, you know, if somebody pulls up into your house, man, while we're doing this interview, you know, with the black cars and the, you know, the Suburbans and stuff, that, you know, that's, has nothing to do with the show right now. But yeah, man, it was a very, I mean, we had a lot of good times, but it was a very specialized training that we were going through too.
And if memory serves me correctly, I think you were in the first 33S class.
That's right.
And I was in the second.
That's right.
When they created it. And mine ended up being 18 months.
Wow.
My list of training. So I spent a good portion of my first tour in school and studying and living in the Arctic, being up in the Boston area.
Yeah. But tell the people, man, what Army life meant to you, like how you, it was certainly different than being, as they used to say, out in the world, but tell them how you adapted, how you handled it so well.
The Army for me, I had made a prior attempt, something not so well publicized, to join the Army, and I was very much underage, even younger than you were, Kevin.
Man.
But, you know, I had an oldest brother who went to Vietnam, and he got wounded and later passed away during the Tet Offensive. Uh-huh. And he had just turned 21 years old. And my one of my brothers who was really close to me, he was like 16 or I think he was 15, and I think I was 14. So we decided to go down to the recruiters, and we were going to join the Army. And at the time, I had a baby face, hadn't grown any hair, and most of the hair I had was on my head.
That's right.
So the recruiter didn't embarrass us or turn us away, you know, and make us feel bad. He just kind of waited, and it was late in the day, so he gave us a ride home, and nothing was ever said about that. After my second year of college, I always was somewhat drawn to structure, Boy Scouts and and things like that, mm-hmm. and as well as the military. So when I would see people in uniform, I'm like, oh man, you know, they stand for something and they had order in their life and structure and the way they carry themselves. And I just liked the fact that, you know, we could be a part of something. But after my brother passed away, I had a different sense of understanding, just because it was something for the country, but it was both an opportunity for me to be able to go in and do something with my life.
Right, right.
If I chose to have a future, I didn't have the limitations that I was facing when I was out on the streets.
Yeah.
If people may remember, in 1973, there was tremendous gas shortages. The economy was really bad.
Yes.
Interest rates were really high.
That's right.
There was not truly an era for minorities, for sure. And I will say in my neighborhood, but during the time during Vietnam, many of the older kids were basically decimated and taken from our neighborhoods.
Right, right.
I mean,
right.
I only knew one kid that was 4F.
Right.
So for me, it was to go in and serve the country, get a career, you know, get into a career field that would allow me opportunity where I could dictate what I would do and not have someone else do so. So after my second year of college, I finished exams, and I think maybe 8 or 10 days later, I'm in Fort Jackson, pumping up Fort Jackson in basic training, you know. And, you know, so there was a long lineage, actually 5 of us. In my family, my direct family served in the military, one Marine, Daryl and I, we were like twins.
Yeah.
And he was in Camp Lejeune 4 days apart from when I was in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, in basic. But when I went to Fort Devens, it was so much of a breath of fresh air to have met you and see that, you know, hey, look, I'm not the only one, not only in Army Security Agency, with had like a tenth of 1% were minorities.
Right, right, right.
But to be able to see someone wrestle with some of the same challenges at a young age, and you being younger, I could relate to some of the responsibilities for also helping you, you know.
Right, exactly.
So we really grew close very fast, and it was also a supportive role because I needed the same type of support from you pushing me as well as me pushing you to be successful, because we didn't see other blacks,
right,
you know.
Right.
Not only in Army Security Agency, I had one brother who was in ASA. But it was just rare. You know, you would hear about people being in other parts of the world, but you didn't necessarily know them. So it meant a lot to me. If I could ever say that the most impacting thing that ever happened in my life was joining the Army and proving that I was a good soldier.
Yeah, you know what? That's a very interesting point, because now we received a lot of very, very sophisticated training and career building training, and right, and plus with the security aspect. But it was an exchange. It wasn't like they were just giving us stuff. We were giving them stuff too, right? And you know, because I mean, it takes something to be a good soldier. And I think that was the cool thing, man, because we were about having some fun, but we also took pride in what we were doing, right? We took pride in marching up and down those streets, right, and being those formation and having those starched uniforms and stuff, man. It was a life building experience, was what it was.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can remember. I remember we were in a battalion formation one time at Fort Devens, and there was a captain that was there. I don't know if you remember Captain Loudermilk.
Oh yeah,
Captain Loudermilk knew my oldest brother, next to my oldest brother, Tony.
Oh yeah,
and he saw the certain things in me that I didn't even see in myself.
Yeah,
because I mean, I faced the same struggles of, man, I don't know why I go through all of this. You know, I had already made it beyond any point where I would be kicked out of the military or something like that. But
right.
It was very difficult, as you would say, as far as the level of study and commitment you had to put towards both understanding your responsibilities in the military and upholding those, but also the educational responsibilities were very difficult as well, because the foundation for me, even having had what I thought was a higher level math when I came out of high school and in college, I was challenged.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
My starting point was a little different. So when they started talking about antenna wave propagation and things like that and the mathematics behind it, I mean, I had to go and catch up and brush up on a lot of things that I wasn't so well prepared for.
Right.
So
right.
It was both challenging but also rewarding.
Yeah, very.
And when you put on new stripes, and I remember you putting on stripes, it was almost like, you know, you grew a chest.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because it meant something.
Yeah, I could do it now.
Yeah, it meant something because it meant something to you and everybody around you, right? You know, look, one thing I want to also emphasize, this is a sports show. You know, sports was a large part of our lives back then, because we didn't really, weren't really able to do a whole lot. I mean, we did find a way to have an active social life, right? But some of us did. You know what? After Buzz gets off the phone, I'm gonna tell you all some stories, right? But I'm not gonna disrespect him by saying all this stuff right here. But tell the audience about like the role that sports played in your military career.
Well, back in the time when we were in, they would ask for volunteers. The implied response of you not volunteering was you know, you get the crap list.
That's right.
Putting it in different terms.
Yeah.
So if they said you, and they would pick Kevin and myself and some other colleagues, and it says, okay, you know, we have a company basketball team, and they're going to form this team. They didn't know whether you could play or not.
That's right.
You know, it was more of you better play, or you know what that other list is, and you better not let me down. It was the unspoken side of how life was if you let someone down.
That's right. That's
so
right.
All the time we were being molded and groomed to lead, and also to not fear and to overcome your own, you know, inhibitions when it comes to going out to do things.
Right.
So we were a little different when it came to, you know, the outgoing personalities or the being out on the court or playing with the big boys and some other things. We both grew up in inner city, with similar backgrounds, but my life growing up was rough. You know, you had to fight to go to the areas where, you know, the best ball players were, and I got to be a good fighter. So I'm drinking, I got to come out here to play ball. And so you had that side of the being molded and being freed of many of the things that you brought in that would hinder your growth you know, individually. Because I brought some baggage with me, you know. I mean, I still had that street in me to some degree.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The military and putting that uniform on, and that common sense of, look, we can all do well in watching your friends prosper and helping them along did a lot for me, because I had someone in my corner. You know, saying, man, I know you're going to make it this time, you know, on promotions, studying, taking exams, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, marching, being in Soldier of the Month, Soldier of the Year, Soldier of the Quarter, whatever you were in. You gained that confidence because you had someone telling you that you can do it. And when I mentioned Captain Loudermilk, he didn't ask me whether I wanted to run for Soldier of the Month. He said, you are going to be my Soldier of the Month.
Right.
And not from a standpoint of a handout, but you know, you got to go to work. And
right.
Then after I became Soldier of the Month and competing with other members in the unit, it was okay. Well, okay. Now you got to get ready for Soldier of the Quarter. So I'm thinking I can kind of slack up and let off, but it was that type of commitment from other people who saw more in you and I, you know, you seeing more in me and me seeing more in you.
Mm.
And then sometimes you were a good reminder for me that I couldn't slack off because I had a responsibility to.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so I couldn't just go and do anything because, you know, I'm not going to say your brain wasn't fully developed. But
you don't have to say it. That was a fact.
It was growing, you know?
look, okay, we're talking to Edward Buss Johnson, fellow veteran here on the Federal Football Report. Now, before we started recording the segment, you texted me and you reminded me of a couple of instances that we, we're talking about pushing each other. And now, see, and being an athlete, you know, I was still growing, as Buss said, I was still growing. And learning how to become myself. Now, see, Buss was an athlete, right? Buss was a ball player. Buss was a cross country track star. So tell them about the night run that you encouraged me to go on with you that night. This was after we left training. We had gone our separate ways, and then we reunited again at Fort Hood, in Fort Hood, Texas, deep in the heart of Texas. So Buss, tell them about that night and the workout that you took me on.
Well, Kevin, as I said, Mr. Stanfield, as he would go by, he insisted that he would go on a run. And he would tell me the times I would train, I would run 10 and 2. 10 one day, 2 the next. 10, and I would do that 6 days a week. But this one time, I'm going to go 18 miles. So Kevin knew I was going to run, you know, getting prepared and everything. He says, come on, Buss, man, let me go. Let me go, man. Come on, I'm not going to hold you up. I'm like, Kevin, come on, man. This ain't a run you just want to jump into. But like most things, Kevin insisted. He was going to get out there and he was going to run. And his Adidas were nice and clean. And he was convinced that he was going to make that run. And he promised me, I'm not going to hold you up. Bus, I ain't going to hold you up, man, I promise. So we were going to run cattle trails. And Fort Hood is 350 square miles for anybody who may not be familiar with it. Fort Hood at the time was almost as large as the city that I grew up in.
Yeah.
As far as the number of troops that were there.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody was not your friend. You know, you see people wearing different, unit badges,
right.
Whatever kind of thing.
We're talking about the 2nd Armored Division, 1st Cavalry Division. Yeah. These are real, real soldiers. Right, okay.
That's right. The 7th Army Division, everything that was out there.
Right.
So anyway, so Kevin and I go on this run. And I told him, I said, look, I'm not looking back. So, you know, you're going to get kicking. So I'm running for time at the time.
Mm.
And Kevin, for maybe about the first 8 miles, man, he's right there with me. I'm like, go ahead, man. I'm all right, you know. I'm looking back at my little brother. So he'd go along. I think we got about 12 miles maybe. And I look back, and I see him back in the horizon. He's still running. still running. And we were going. There was no time for any type of electronics, you know, as far as the things we have.
That's right. That's right.
We have now. And he was running. And we ran. When I crossed at the 18-mile mark, and I stopped trying to catch my breath and everything, waited a few minutes. There he is. My boy was still kicking.
Yeah.
He made that run. He said he would make that run. And I was proud of him. I didn't tell him too much because I didn't want, you know, at the time, you know, having his head blow up was not the best thing that happened. So he did make that run. And I said, man, you know what? Man, you know, you said you were going to make that run. And I know he was hurting.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he was hurting. But the same with basketball. He would go out and work, and we would play, you know. And I told him, I said, you know, something that a friend of mine did with me that really helped me out. We would play one-on-one whole court. And you know, defensively, if you let your man go, he was gone. There was no help.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kevin and I played one-on-one whole court, and he realized more. I watched him change as far as being more competitive, you know, and not giving up on a play.
Yeah, tired of losing.
So you're right about the athletics, and you in football. Some of the things that people may not know about you was you were an exceptional wide receiver. Now, he would go off here, and we would practice, and we would practice and just keep going. But he wasn't a guy that would take something on and just give up or just settle for being average. You know, so that was one thing I noticed about you, and one reason why I enjoyed working out with.
Well, you know what? Let me, you know, because I tried to get a couple more of our friends, and I want to tell everybody that we had an opportunity. Now, we're talking, you know, we're talking about these things like they were just like last week or last month. We're talking about the 1970s, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the 1970s. And there's a couple of guys that were very, very close to us, and we had an opportunity to have a reunion a couple of years back. Lewis Long and Ray Neblett. We all went down to Houston and had a reunion. And a couple of months ago, my wife had never met any of the guys. Bus couldn't make it to this trip, but, you know, he practically was there because we kept talking about him the whole time. And my wife had a chance to meet Lewis and Ray. And then we talked and we talked and talked. And then my wife asked Lewis's wife, how long did they all know each other? And it turns out we were all just together for at most like 2 years. But she says, the way to hear you guys talk, it seemed like you knew each other your whole lives. And that's basically what it was, man, because it's really when our lives really began. I mean, whatever happened before that, that was one thing, but our lives really began when we like all got together, man, and like the expression, iron sharpens iron. That's truly what it was like with us, because you could be totally yourself with this group of guys, and the only thing we really wanted to do was make each other better. That's all we cared about. I mean, that was it. We all wanted to be better because there could come a time in life where our lives depended on one another, but we were ready for it.
That is so profound because I remember like introductions when you go to a new duty station.
Yeah,
it's kind of like walking into high school as a freshman.
Right, exactly.
You know, you may know people, but you don't know how to approach them. So when I went to Fort Hood, you know, with you being there, I'm like, oh, man, Kev, you know, you're in Fort Hood. And knowing that I could not stay there, you know, as far as my career, I had to go overseas. So I volunteered for everything in the world to get out of there. But I never lost that longing to kind of stay in touch with you guys
right. And
see how you're doing. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know what, man? We were supposed to have been talking for like 10 minutes, and we're approaching the half hour, which is cool.
Oh, man.
That's cool. I didn't know it either. But before we go, you got to tell one more story. and it's the story of, it was a Christmas. We had leave for Christmas from Fort Hood, Texas. Now, you know, I'm born and raised in D.C., and buses from the Newport News, Portsmouth, Suffolk area, you know, down there, right? And we just tell them the story about us and the Christmas trip, man.
This is a story that most people may not believe. You know, on the one hand, we were all good friends and very close. You couldn't slide anything in between us, a credit card. But someone got this great idea that we would drive from Fort Hood, Texas, to Washington, D.C. But it wasn't one drive. Four people were in the car.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
a four or five, Kevin.
It was five.
Five. Five people in the car. Kevin was the last one on the route. Being D.C. was the farthest.
Right.
About 200 miles north, 180 miles north of where I live. But everybody else, coming out of Central Texas, anyone who's taken that drive, you are so happy when you see "Welcome to Louisiana"
yeah.
Sign.
It took a day to get out of Texas.
I'm talking about if you're in a luxury vehicle. It is like, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you say in a luxury vehicle, but tell them what we was in.
We were in a Pinto. Listen,
a Ford Pinto.
We almost fought. I'm talking about, you know how tight we are, right?
That's right.
So we almost fought to see who would drive because the driving seat had more room. Now I'm 6'3", Kevin 6'3". You know, we were the tallest in the group. But if you get in the back seat of a Pinto and you have to ride from Central Texas to just the Louisiana line and stuff.
Oh, man.
Temporary insanity. anyone would agree with that. It was so painful. This thing must not have had 1 ounce of cushion on the seat.
Oh, God.
So we would drop off and then they'd take bags out and we drop one person off and it's pitch black outside. It's okay, man, now it's four. But again, man, I'll drive. No, I'll drive. So we go from being these really tight knit, can't slide a credit card in between us friends to, you know, there's another way we could handle it. It was like we were aggravated.
Yeah, just
now,
leave them. Yeah.
Finally, what was the drop off? We go to Georgia. We had a drop off in Georgia. Then it's just Kevin and I, you know, and we got to go from Georgia to D.C. So, well, I think maybe it was 22 hours or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Before you got home, 22 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So, meanwhile, we had 22 hours of breathing the same air in a car that literally hurt.
That's right.
You know.
Four
pedals. And
max speed, 48 miles an hour.
Yes. It would only go so fast. We weren't stopping because that would add to the length of the drive.
Yeah,
because
if we stopped and got out of the car, we wouldn't want to get back in.
it was so memorable. More memorable than any trip that I've ever taken in my life.
I surely would never forget it.
Kevin, that you know, this had to really be, if you had to judge our friendship and our tolerance for humanity, it had to be measured by that trip
in
the car with these brothers.
That's it.
It was wonderful. But if I had to do it again, I could only say, give me a covered wagon.
Yeah, really.
Or something.
Really, a Segway. I would have done a little motorized scooter. I would do that. Well, man, this has been a great revisitation of what Veterans Day is really all about, right? You know, it's about, you know, the honor we had, the privilege we had of serving. And we got, like I said, we got the skills and the training and the benefits, but it's something we took from it, man, that's way beyond any of that, man. And I'm eternally grateful for it, man. I love you guys, man. And, you know, hey, what else can I say, bro?
I certainly agree, and when we had kind of lost touch, yeah. I looked for years, and I would often want to look for years, and this is pre-internet, and times I would think I had found you, but I can say when I did, I remember smacking my hands together and jumping up, man,
that's
and
right.
just thanking God.
That's right.
And, you know, little did I know that just 2 weeks prior to that, you had gotten in touch with Ray and Lewis.
Right.
So I'm really thankful. It's a brotherhood that few people will understand, but that's okay.
Yeah, you know, when Ray and Lewis listen to this, right, you know, with the magic of the internet, they're going to get mad. But you know what? I'm telling you, fellas, you're welcome. Just give me a call. You know, we'll put aside. We'll have a special post-Veterans Day celebration, right? So, Buzz, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I will be talking with you later.
And everyone like Buzz and myself who had the honor and the privilege and the pleasure of serving this country, happy Veterans Day. We'll be right back to wrap this up. This is the Federal Football Report on the Federal News Network.
Our mission is helping you meet your mission. Federal News Network.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The Washington Redskins, 6-3, number one in the NFC East.
Number one.
And we've got the Texans coming to town.
That's right.
Keys to victory against the Texans, Kevin. What do you got?
Number one, this, mark that. Number one, we got to contain Deshaun Watson. Now, the Texans have won, was it five straight or six straight?
Yes.
You know, he came off after his fabulous debut as a rookie and the knee injury. He was a little rusty coming back, but it seems like the rust has been shaken off. And I think we're very fortunate catching them after a bye week because it might take them a little bit of time to
get back in
to get back. But we got to contain him and we got to account for J.J. Watt. I learned from Bill Belichick, you never let the team's best player beat you. Let somebody else beat you. So we got to contain J.J. Watt as well.
Got to get creative on offense for the Redskins. You know, a team like the Texans, that defense will expose weaknesses on that offensive line. And, you know, with folks being, you know, so hurt. I mean, even, gosh, is it Christensen or whoever one of the backup guys? He's hurt. And so, you know, it's going to be a patchwork day. I think you rely heavily on Adrian Peterson, but mix it up. You know, some screen passes, some mixed direction. Try to play their aggressiveness to their disadvantage. And by all means, don't be the bad Redskins, a.k.a. the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No turnovers. You cannot beat yourself in this game here, because you already have an uphill climb when it comes to, again, you're playing a pretty good team and you're banged up some. So we'll see how they do. Predictions, Kevin, what do you got for this game?
I got 27-19 Washington.
Wow. Okay, Redskins win. I've got 23-17 Redskins lose. But the Texans, I think it's going to come down to like a last drive or two for them to go up. I think the Redskins are going to lead most of this game, and it's going to be a really close game, and the Texans are going to score late to win.
Bend but don't break, baby.
There we go. We'll see how that happens. So it's another week of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. For Kevin Stanfield, I'm Claude Jennings. Hey, man, fans, show up. Show up. So at least if you're mad that Josh Norman said what he said, then show up to the home game.
Prove him wrong.
Prove him wrong. All right, and we'll try to prove everyone else wrong next week. I don't even know what that means, why you saying that, but that's what we want to try to do.
That's right.
On the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network.